Good afternoon, Thursday Farm News here on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Kara Hart, along with Randy Conan and Megan Turnquist in studio. We'll also hear from Don Wick, who's reporting from the National Pork Forum. Ray Abbott futures market analyst Ron McDaniel says market influences are all over the board right now, with a big crop coming in from South America.
Good weather down there, too wet in parts of France, Germany, UK. We got this backdrop of maybe China buying some wheat. We heard rumors overnight about maybe China will lower the standards and take some U.S. three yellow corn, which is the stuff we're trying to get off the West Coast. So that's causing corn to bounce periodically. So it's a real jumbled mess. We're holding pretty steady.
The value of the Brazilian currency continues to put U.S. farmers at a large trade disadvantage.
I was just explained today, in the last 2 weeks, the Brazilian farmer got the equivalent of a 45 cent bump in the price of beans. And they're getting somewhere around $10, $11 equivalent U.S. down there for bean. And so, you know, they're in a situation where the Brazilian farmer's dumping beans, the Argentine farmer's holding back for inflation hedge, and mad at his government.
Standard Grain President Joe Vaklovic says this corn market, though, is acting pretty unusual.
This is an odd setup for what we're told is a well-supplied market. You've got no carry in the market, or very little carry in some of the spreads, which is not, that's not indicative of a well-supplied market. When you get a market like this where there's essentially no curve, that usually tells you that there's something going on supply-wise that we're maybe tighter than normal or tighter than what the market is telling us. So that's an indicator. And the textbooks will tell you when you've got strong basis like we do and the spreads start to act like this, the next thing to go is going to be the futures. And we've already seen that to some extent with the rally earlier this week. And you may very well see some follow-through if you get the right piece of news.
And Vaklovic says there also are rumors floating around that China is looking for corn.
Now, we haven't seen anything official yet, and it's just talk. We have seen China buy some sorghum the last couple of weeks. As a matter of fact, we had a real big purchase for sorghum anyways, 110,000 metric tons yesterday. So China has kind of started to make some ag purchases here, and based on the way the corn markets acted, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw some news regarding corn sales to China sometime very soon.
California has declared a statewide emergency as coronavirus cases in the state rise to over 50 people. The U.S. death toll is now at 11, with new cases emerging in New York City and Los Angeles. Seattle health officials are discouraging social gatherings as the area is among the nation's largest outbreak. U.S. lawmakers have reached bipartisan agreement on a $8.3 billion emergency bill for efforts to contain the virus.
The National Pork Industry Forum continues through midday tomorrow in Kansas City. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Don Wick is there with this update.
Coronavirus has put a damper on the global economy. National Pork Board President David Newman says that's a big issue, with 30% of the U.S. swine herd going into export markets.
The timing was not good. Coming off of the China Phase 1 trade deal, the beginning of the Chinese New Year, pork export demand was through the roof. It was really, really great. And then coronavirus essentially shut down China. And we've seen a little bit of a ripple effect through the U.S. pork system here because of that. But we hope that it creates as little disruption as possible and that this normalizes soon.
Newman previously served as the Extension Swine Specialist at North Dakota State University. He now serves a similar role at Arkansas State and is involved in his family's livestock operation. That's all in addition to his leadership role on the 15-member National Pork Board.
What I do as president of the National Pork Board is help represent the voice of 60,000-plus pork producers. And this one meeting a year where our delegates come together is really a large group of all of the people representing the 60,000-plus producers. They've donated their time and their effort. because of their passion to the pork industry. What I want people to know at home is that U.S. pork producers are tremendously passionate about what we do. We follow ethical principles every day to supply a safe, affordable protein source for people all around the world.
Our coverage from the National Pork Industry Forum, made possible by the North Dakota Pork Council and the Minnesota Pork Council. Reporting from Kansas City, I'm Don Wick on the Red River Farm Network.
North Dakota Ag Weather Network End On Director Daryl Richardson's outlook for spring looks like our current weather pattern.
As we go into the spring, I think what we're going to find is a scenario where we kind of stay in this pattern, but probably because we average so little moisture that we'll probably get a couple of storms that will probably push us close to average or maybe a smidge above. But overall, I think it will be a good improvement over last year, but probably still not perfect.
And Richardson expects temperatures to be on the cooler side.
The thing I concern myself the most with is really the temperatures. Most of the tools that I use would suggest a slightly cooler than average spring. And of course, there's not a single person listening that does not want a warmer than average spring. So it's one of those many scenarios I tell people I hope I'm wrong.
According to the Energy Information Administration, ethanol production for the week ending February 28th increased 2.4% or 24,000 barrels per day. The four-week average ethanol production rate went down 0.1% to 1.051 million barrels per day. Ethanol stocks increased 1% to a record 25 million barrels per day. Red River Farm Network radio stations listen to this broadcast and more on your phone. Bookmark rrfn.com on your phone or tablet. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news here on the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services Agronomy Manager Chris Colsto says the gradual snowmelt we are seeing is positive.
Things are starting to shape up a little bit. Feels like we're getting a nice slow snow melt out there, which is good for us. And you know, overall, I think we need a good thaw, and we froze up wet, and there's corn coming off now, and we're getting conditions to do that. So things are shaping up. If the weather continues to be in favor for us this spring, to be a good spring.
Coastal would like to see an early snowmelt.
We're certainly hopeful that we're going to get going sometime in April. You know, if we could get going by the 20th of April in some areas and lengthen the spring season out, it'll be good for everyone, just getting logistics and everything in place, because there's a lot of things that never got done last fall that normally do, and a lot of product to move. So we've got to have Mother Nature working for us this spring.
While 2019 was a stressful year for farmers and ranchers, a new poll from the South Dakota Soil Health Coalition suggests producers who use soil health practices experienced less stress. Additionally, those operations were more satisfied with farming or ranching and more optimistic about the future. 31% of those using soil health practices reported increased profitability in 2019 compared to 12% of conventional farmers. 83% of soil health farmers were also more optimistic about their farm being resilient to weather extremes versus 60% of conventional farmers.
It's been a quick South Dakota legislative session. Next Thursday, March 12th, the session will be over. South Dakota Corn Growers Association Legislative Director Teddy Mueller says things are wrapping up incredibly calm compared to how the session began.
You know, these guys have dug in, worked hard, and they're getting a lot of the hard issues knocked out. And so the last week, you know, they can focus on, and whether it's a capital outlay bill or whatever, they can take their time to do what they need to do. But it looks like it's going to wrap up pretty calmly.
So when's the official wrap-up date? Remind us again.
So that's the end of next week is the wrap-up date. They have 1 week left, which is super exciting as we all kind of mark our calendars to get through.
Property taxes were a priority for the association, but Mueller says the bills had minute, minute rather, changes, and there were no issues. One of the major issues where ag rallied was Senate Bill 157. That's zoning legislation.
Appeal process in the county zoning. You know, we've had a lot of farmers, and one that we know really well here in South Dakota that has gone through a really tough time of trying to get some of their livestock operations zoned. And Senate Bill 157 was one that would address that. And you have the governor herself embrace that and show immense amount of leadership trying to make sure that agriculture can thrive in South Dakota. And you had every ag group on the same page. And that was, it's amazing to watch.
Mueller says the zoning legislation is a step in the right direction to bring livestock back to the farm.
A bill is passed through a South Dakota legislative committee that would streamline the conditional use of the permitting process, providing a more predictable timeline. The full House of Representatives could debate the governor-backed bill as early as this afternoon. It's already been approved in the Senate on February 21st.
Well, something needs to be done to help farmers. That's one takeaway from the Minnesota House Tax Committee hearing on Section 179. Lawmakers discussed allowing full Section 179 expensing for like-kind exchange this morning. Here's Committee Chair Paul Marquardt.
With this like-kind exchange, that's why they're getting hit, is because of what the feds did on now recognizing personal property like-kind exchanges. This takes care of that problem. That takes care of it. And if Section 179 full expensing was so easy to do, we'd have it in law right now. That's why I think it's the responsible thing to do is to come up with options. And this, like I said, will deal with this huge problem you've been hearing farmers talk about in these very, very difficult times.
Representative Dan Fabian says Section 179 isn't an issue many people know about, but moving this forward is the right thing to do. The bill was laid over for possible inclusion for the omnibus tax bill. Lawmakers also considered a bill to allow carryover for unused Section 179 expensing and bonus depreciation. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. CHS Executive Vice President of Country Operations, Rick Dusick, says CHS Country Operations is focused on helping local cooperatives serve their farmers.
You know, we're there to bring the products and services from our four core businesses of CHS, which are grain, agronomy, energy, and processing, to the farm in the most efficient way we can to create value. There's areas that we do really well, and there's some areas that have a room for improvement. We got some gaps, quite honestly, and we're going to work hard on that. We're calling those gaps out. We're going to put resources to it, because as I shared this morning with the group, it is our, you know, as country operations, our most important relationship is with the farmer, and we got to get that right. If we don't get that right, a lot of the other things we do don't matter.
Safety is also a culture that is being cultivated.
We're out there every day in a lot of dangerous stuff. We're hauling, you know, dangerous materials, and we're working in plants, and there's a lot of heavy equipment, and you go out in the farm, and it's really a message of you know, really with three, you know, three audiences as mine is, number one, our employees. We need to keep our employees safe each and every day. We want to make sure our customers and their families and their workers are safe, and their equipment and their, you know, property. And then we want to make sure our communities are well taken care of, as safe as well. And we take those things very, very seriously at CHS.
A California-based company called Plug and Play is planting roots in North Dakota, announcing plans for an ag tech center in Fargo. Grand Farm Director of Operations Brian Carroll says Plug and Play will bring approximately 20 startup companies from around the world to the community. Governor Doug Burgum, who attended the announcement event, says North Dakota is an ideal place for startups around the globe to test technology, grow companies, and advance agriculture. Taking a look at the markets before we leave you this afternoon, May Minneapolis wheat down 5.5 at 523.75. May Chicago wheat up 1 at 519.25. May corn down 4 at 381. December corn down 2.5 at 383. May beans down 10.5 at 896.75. November beans down 10 at 907.5. April live cattle down $2.47 at 108.80. April feeder cattle down $1.45 at 134.10. April lean hogs up 70 cents at 65. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day. This is the Red River Farm Network.